Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the September 11, 2017 regular Othello City Council meeting. If you would all please rise for a short invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city, upon the decisions this council makes, and for wisdom for all involved. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. The next item on our agenda is the roll call, and we do have Councilmember Eugene Bain asked to be excused. One to attend to, so could I entertain a motion to...
I'll make that motion to excuse Eugene.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Also like to welcome Jennifer...
Hanson.
Hanson, back as our legal counsel tonight. Kelly had a conflict, so last minute, Jennifer got the plane ride.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Othello. Thank you, Jennifer, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. This item is 1.5. The next one is citizen input. Is there any citizen here tonight who would like to address the city council? If so, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. You can step to the microphone, and you will have 5 minutes to address the council with regard to any issue that you see fit. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the council? Okay, seeing none. We'll move to item two, which is approval of our agenda tonight.
Make the motion to approve the agenda.
We have a motion made in second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three is our consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
Make that motion. Second.
Motion made in second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now, we're going to move to our current business. And the first item is 4.1, utility ordinance discussion. Spencer, our city finance officer, has some information for the council that he would like to... I think that's been discussed also in committee, but go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, thank you very much. These first two items on tonight's agenda are both items that we've discussed. I think it was just earlier last week, I met with the Solid Waste Committee to discuss garbage rates, which we're also going to discuss a little later this evening. But these two first items are items that we discussed at that meeting, and we've also discussed with the Finance Committee meeting kind of here and there. We hit both of these topics last year about this time. And I wanted to bring both of these items up, and we can just hit them one at a time. This first one is regarding our utility tax fund. And just as a refresher, our utility tax fund is separate from the general fund, and it collects general fund revenues. A lot of cities have these two funds merged, or they don't separate these utility taxes out into their own fund. These are taxes natural gas, electric, cable, telephone, water, sewer, these general fund tax revenues. And we receive these revenues into their own fund, and then by city ordinance, 50% of these revenues are transferred automatically over to the general fund for the general fund purposes of the city, and then what's left is open for capital purchases, open for anything that you want to spend that money on, because it's ultimately general fund money. At the end of the year in our budget process, we've been changing the OMC, the percentage of revenues in this fund that we transfer over into our general fund. We've been changing that by ordinance every year, so 70%, 90%, 80%, whatever is needed by that budget that year. What I'm proposing tonight is that we take another look at this and see if we really need this fund, or if we want to keep this fund, I think there may be some other things that we can do so we don't have to have a new ordinance that we pass every single year to modify our municipal code year after year. It'd just be one less thing to have to do. One thing we can do is get rid of the utility tax fund altogether and just receive these revenues straight into the general fund. Another thing we can do is nothing, just keep this fund separate. One of the items that the council liked about this, the keeping this fund separate, was that it's a little bit easier to track these revenues and these expenses. A third option would be to leave this fund as it is and change the OMC to say, take out the specific percentage language and put some language in there that says we'll transfer the funds over as per the past, the budget that is decided upon by council. So it's the percentage that we move over is still decided on by council. You still have complete control. You still have the utility taxes tracked in their own fund. But we don't have this one more ordinance to pass. I didn't prepare this ordinance for us tonight. This is something that we can do at a future meeting. But I wanted to present that to you as an item to discuss tonight. And if the committee that we discussed this with earlier last week, if you had any points that you wanted to make, you could make a couple of those.
Just a question, is there a minimum fund balance in the utility tax fund?
No.
And we just keep transferring money over to it? I believe the reason that we were keeping that fund separate was because there may have been, you know, question of how much money was being generated from that fund with regard to the industry and things like that. And so we could answer that question easier by saying, here's the amount. It's all here in this fund.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that we would really hit too much opposition if we decided to just incorporate it into the general fund and quit worrying about carrying a separate fund.
And if we did move it into the general fund, these revenues are still their own line items, specific line items that we can take a look at.
Yeah. Does the state auditor have any preference?
For financial reporting purposes, we don't report a utility tax fund. We merge it into the general fund for reporting.
I see. Anybody else have an opinion?
I've always been in favor of getting rid of it and just having the general fund. And then just having each one go into a line item like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we would still know how much money came in, but it would just be a reporting thing.
Yeah,
and there's no restrictions on how it's spent today. We just keep transferring fund balances over.
And percentages that go to the capital and percentages that go to the general. So, yeah, that would eliminate that.
And then those
percentages.
Is that
what you want?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I think we would just need a recommendation to Spencer.
I would then recommend that you come back with abolishing or eliminating the fund.
And I can do that at our next meeting.
Okay.
Or soon.
You going to go right into the other one?
Yeah, I can if you want. The other item is another item that we've discussed. We discussed maybe a year ago. It's regarding our transportation benefit district, the TBD. Right now we have our street fund, which is part of the city, and then we have our TBD, which was recently created. It started receiving revenue last December. It received its first piece of revenue. The TBD is a separate legal entity from the city. So as you know, we meet with the TBD board, which is all of you just wearing different hats. We meet with the TBD board to make decisions for the TBD. Then we meet as a city to incorporate the TBD board's decisions into the city. Into the city's decisions for budgeting. What I'm proposing tonight is that we have the city assume the TBD into the city. This would do a couple of things for us. It would get rid of the the audit costs that we have right now for the TBD. It's a separate legal entity. It needs its own audit. It would rid us of the insurance costs that the TBD has. The TBD would be covered under the city insurance if it was just part of the city. And it would get rid of the need for all these other meetings. It would get rid of some red tape, I think, if we were to assume the TBD. One of the risks of assuming the TBD is public perception. There's the thought out there that the city just created the TBD, we created this new tax, and now the city is disbanding the TBD and we're sucking the TBD into the city. That's not really what we're doing. What we would do when we assume the TBD is we get rid of the TBD itself, but the TBD money, that specific tax, that's a restricted tax. We take that TBD fund and we just move it in under the city. Right now, the TBD is a 600 level fund. We'll change it to a 100 level fund. A 600 level fund is a fund where the city holds money on behalf of another organization, where we hold that money in a fiduciary capacity. If we change it to a 100 level fund, it would still be its own fund. We'd have a street fund, then we'd have a TBD fund. Nothing would change operationally about how we use this money or how we're allowed to use this money. All the same restrictions are there. We would no longer have to produce financial statements for the TBD. It'd all be covered under the city's financial statements. So this is one of those items that we've talked about in the past a little bit, and I wanted to float this idea by you again tonight. This was another item that we talked about in our solid waste committee meeting, and at that meeting the committee was in favor of the city assuming the TBD. And just a couple other points. This is something that a lot of cities are doing because it gets rid of red tape, it gets rid of the need for extra meetings and extra budget, extra audit costs and insurance costs. About a year ago, I was visiting with an old friend from the auditor's office, and she asked me, so why didn't the city do this yet? And it's just something that a lot of cities are going this direction because it's a good idea. I wanted to float that idea by you. If there are any other thoughts from the committee that met and discussed that?
Well, as long as, you know, this TBD, that money is to be used for improvements of our old streets. You know, that's what it's for. That's what we talked about.
Yeah.
And incorporated it into the general fund. I don't see nothing wrong with it.
As long as we have control of that money, because that's
what we have it there for.
Right.
As long as we don't start. You kind of answered my question, though, a little bit ago, that we're going to watch it carefully and make sure it doesn't get mixed in with other jobs that are going to be coming along.
It doesn't go into the general fund. It doesn't even go into the street fund. It's still kept as its own separate fund as it is now. So it would the
so
TBD
it's
revenues.
So the governing body changes.
We would get rid of the governing body. So
it changes over to the city.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Very good.
You have to carry.
I'm in favor of it, but I am a little wary of the PR out, you know, making sure we get the PR out there so that the public perception is correct that we are using this specifically for what we said we were using.
So the fund still has a restrictive use.
Yeah.
Okay. That does not change.
Still got to be spent
on the people governing the fund doesn't change. That's still us. Okay. What changes is we eliminate about $3,000 worth of insurance that we have to pay to carry that separately as an entity outside of the city. So if you bring it into the city and under the city's funding, nothing else changes with it except for you eliminate the spending of the insurance.
And the audit cost, which is about
I understand that. My concern would be the making sure that we get an article out there or get some information out there to the public so that the public perception does not change.
Yeah.
Well, send it out with the power bills then or something, just a little blurb.
But I think anybody who's following the TBD is also going to be following the city. I think they'll get it.
Yeah. Okay, so there's one scenario, though, where I could see where it would not work in our advantage.
because as you're aware, the TBD can still, without a public vote, institute a license tab fee, correct?
Yes, and if the city assumes the TBD, that doesn't negate any authorities of the TBD. The city then assumes the powers of the TBD.
So if we do this, the city council could still, not the TBD board, but the city council could still institute that $35
yes.
license tab fee?
Yes.
Oh, well.
Up to $35.
Yeah, we're just assuming the powers of the TBD.
Okay, I don't see any reason not to. Jennifer?
Based on that, I don't see any reason either, but I would like to talk to you about the tab issue. Since I didn't have the agenda ahead of time, I didn't look into that issue, so I'd like to confirm that. I don't have any reason to think that you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, and I would also work with our attorney on the ordinance. I'm not exactly sure how that works for the city to assume the TBD. I have examples of ordinances from other cities that have done this, but.
Okay, well, at this point, I think it's just a recommendation from the council.
Yeah, continue to move forward with it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Spencer, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And now, we're going to move to item 4.3, which is a proposed four-way stop at Ash Street and 10th Avenue. And Chief Schenck has some information about that intersection.
Mayor and Council, thank you. And I've also brought Brooke French, the principal from McFarland, to speak to the issue. I've been out at McFarland every morning and afternoon since school started, except for today, trying to resolve the problems. We even I met with the vice principal, Carlos Gonzalez, before school had even started, because we knew the problem would be there, and I knew the problem would be there because I've seen it the last several years. Now, Spencer, can you go to the slide on that, please? Yeah, let's try that one. I printed off a couple maps so I could show council as we walk through this. And there comes the red line. Well, not all of them. So what we have is the majority of the traffic is coming southbound off of down 10th Street from Ash to come into McFarland Middle School. Okay. And as they come in, the majority of traffic is waiting to then turn and cross into the parking lot, drop the kids off. Some are dropping their kids off out here, and they're walking across two lanes of traffic, moving traffic, to get to the doors. The ones that are then pulling in, this one will stop, wait for everybody to pull in, and then they come out here, and as they're coming up, they're heading north from where they came from. Now, they're also coming down this route because they've gone down Ash. We have multiple lanes of traffic all merging and trying to empty onto Ash at 10. Now, can you go to the next slide? Now, the solution that we need, there's no perfect solution. I mean, I can't move the school. That would be a better solution. But what we're recommending is a four-way stop, much like you see at Scutney, at 10th. So at 10th and Scutney, the traffic meters well. This is the intersection up here that we're proposing. And what it would do is it would stop the traffic, four-way stop on Ash Street. And this wouldn't be a temporary thing that we're just doing during the school year, because once we get drivers trained, we want to keep them that way. But with this, it would allow the traffic that's backed up here to actually enter onto Ash or cross over, where currently you're having to wait for the traffic as it moves towards Scutney Springs. So we think this will actually improve things. There's another slide where it just shows, you know, later on or further down the Scutney and 10th, where we, if anybody's driven through that at the same time, you drive right up, make a turn or go straight, and you have no problem, because the four-way stop actually serves to meter traffic. Everybody takes their turn and goes. That's what we're recommending at 10th and Ash, because we think that'll actually meter the traffic, empty out the traffic that's backed up on 10th and help us relieve that congestion and actually improve safety because we can get the kids off. Now, to speak to the problem, any questions before I turn it over to Brooke French? And if Amy, if you can get Amy up here too, Amy was, she experienced this morning. And I actually went to the morning. So,
good evening. Yes, this was a big concern in July. We actually were looking at this issue where I had my two VPs and we walked around campus looking at this issue. I've been in the district, this is my third year, and I worked in the district office as director of teaching and learning before this. And coming up to McFarland before school starts and right after, there's no way you can do it. We were parking in the church parking lot, which we've leased, and waiting, not just for buses, but for parents. I was the Lutococka principal at the end of last year, and we had very angry parents because, again, they would stop, and they would just stay in the middle of the road. You could come out there with a little yellow vest on, you know, move people forward. This year they've been great. Last year they might just as well just sit there and ignore you. This has happened at other buildings as well, but with McFarland we have 986 students so far, and we have a lot of buses moving. We have a lot of people trying to drop off their students for school. We looked at the parking right in front of McFarland, and we actually moved all the reserve spots down to the far end so we could open up parking spots for our parents, and they're actually using it, and I think it's better than it has been, but we still have about a 20-minute period where you pray that nothing happens to our kiddos, and you're out there, and we have multiple supervisors, all three admin. You have Chief Shank out there, our SRO, and it's still crazy every day and every morning because you have all those parents coming in and stopping to drop off or pick up their kiddos, and they're not they're very specific and focused on parking. And this morning we had at 2:09, or this afternoon at 2:09, we had our first parent pull up and stop and wait until 2:50 to pick up their child, so that the parking lot and the street can get backed up really fast. We also whited out the yellow line in front of the curb outside so that we could have more parking on the outside. So we're doing what we can with what we have, but it's still a huge concern for us. Do you have any questions?
What about the north parking lot? That's just an alley through the north?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where our buses go.
So that's where the buses let out?
The buses, so do we have a picture?
Yeah, that's basically an alley that you couldn't redirect the drop-off point for students.
There's parents dropping.
But you couldn't redirect with signage and, you know, arrows and student drop-off here.
So right up there, the top, the north part, that parking lot is filled with staff. We don't have room for our staff to park, hence we lease out the church's parking lot as well. Our buses go up and around, and then they loop back through, and then come out this side. So for parents to pull in and drop students off again, they're still going to be backed up, and then they're going to block the people that are parked there.
There's a couple of principles when you start dealing with buses, kids, and POVs, personal vehicles. We don't want the three of them to mix. They don't mix well. So anytime we're looking at the schools and traffic flow, we try to separate them out. They've done a really good job with the buses, but there are some issues in that too. We've tried to move the teacher parking as much as we can out here, and we've also asked the teachers that were parking out on 10th Street to park on the far side. And my hope there is to block that, so that parents don't park there or try to drop their kids off there. We don't want kids to walk in front of cars to get where they're, you know, to a sidewalk. Now, one of the issues that I see up here, we want to keep them on the crosswalks. And when parents are dropping their kids off here, they're coming here mixing with the buses, because this is where the buses come in. And then they pull in to where the teachers are parking. So we already have teachers trying to walk across that too. and then they're basically dropping their kids off here or up in here, and then again, where the kids are, we want the kids crossing, we're introducing cars again. So what we're proposing, we're not proposing any major structural changes yet to where we're dropping kids or picking up kids. We think that we can fix some of this with the two stop signs. It's not the perfect fix, it's a... One of the things that Ann and I have been looking at is also turning that Action Tech area into maybe a mini roundabout. Now the problem there again is we have, that's also an area we don't have a lot of crosswalks. We only have a crosswalk on the west side of the street for a portion of it. So the kids in many of these, and if you look down on 11th, there is no sidewalks, so the kids are walking in the middle of the street to get to school. I want to give them a safe place to cross. Safer.
Council?
Sounds to me you guys are organized.
Yeah. I like the idea. I know I've dealt with that intersection for the last couple of years, and it's terrible. It just is. So I like the idea.
Luckily, my daughter's out of the middle school this year, but I avoided for 3 years. I never went down 10 in the morning, never.
Well, speaking from someone who grew up here, I drove down Ash a bunch of times here in the last 5 days. Ash is an arterial. It is an arterial. Whether it was sized as an arterial or not, it is still an arterial. And I don't like stop signs on arterials unless they go onto bigger streets. And so I know kids' safety is paramount, which is why you're here. But I, generally speaking, don't like stop signs on arterials. We did that on 14th Avenue, and
well, it's an arterial from 7th to 14th. That's about it.
Yeah.
Well, in Juniper basically serves the same purpose, and it does have a stop sign on 11th.
More traffic coming from the south
on Juniper?
From the new development? Is that the reason for the...
No.
90% of the traffic that's coming to McFarland is coming on 10th.
Mm-hmm.
From the north.
Southbound.
Yeah.
So
why aren't they coming on 11th? I don't understand why they don't come on 11th. 11th is an arterial from Main Street all the way down to Ash.
Because that's don't how have I, stop always signs. I always came up 11th and
on 10th.
10th, you got about four 10th. Stop signs from Main Street to.
No. 10th is straight through. There is no stop signs on 10th. There isn't. North and south. North, mm-hmm. North and yes. South, there's no stop signs.
But it's unprotected.
But it's unprotected. Everybody.
But if there's not a stop sign, it's straight through.
Well, it's not really straight. It's never straight through.
And then we have 7th to 14th as the main arterial. That's a big problem right there. It's a lot of flow of traffic.
Yeah.
I'm sure just a second. I won't talk for forever, but the smart way to go is to come from the south. I go all the way down 7th, all the way to Scootney, and then come up 10th because that intersection of 10th and Scootney is the only thing that works in that whole neighborhood.
As wide as a freeway.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wide. Where Ash is not, and Ash is not going anywhere other than Scooby Springs, it's the what people are choosing to use as their shortcut through town.
Yeah, it basically is just a, it's being used as an arterial because it's protected all the way down to, from 7th to 14th.
I would like to invite you to come tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon and see how the traffic flows through, if you've seen it, yeah, through McFarland.
Like I said, my daughter just started at the high school this year, so mm-hmm. The last 3 years, I never dropped my daughter mm-hmm. off in front of the high school. I always came up 11th and would pull in, and people would do the same thing. They'd pull in along the alley, would pull up to the curb. The kids would jump out, they'd walk across the little parking mm-hmm. area, and it went really smoothly, at least in that area. But,
and then you just go up and head east on the alley?
I go up the alley to 12th mm-hmm. and kind of back down to Ash, and it was easy.
Well, obviously something's changed within the city dynamics to cause...
This school is at 125%
yeah.
capacity.
Yeah, so there's extenuating circumstances that have created this situation, so we have to address the situation. At least you say it's not a short-term fix, but can we just look at it as a fix and then look at a long-term solution for it? Because we have an alley access there that we have to deal with, and we're going to get a lot more traffic from the south because there's going to be more building going on in the south. So that might become an issue too that needs to be addressed. We have to work with the school district. The city and the school district have to work together. We can't just have the school district saying we're going to do this and you're going to live with it and figure out how to deal with it. Because that situation with the elementary school over there, I'm so unhappy about that we've had to change the direction of a road that should have gone straight through because they wanted to locate their school in that area. So I want there to be more cohesion going on between the city and the school district. I don't want the school district thinking that they're...
Council, let me give you a good example of that. Earlier, late last year, the school district approached us about putting portables in this corner right here. We expressed to them that we thought that would cause all types of problems. Number one, kids walking across the street, interfacing with cars and buses and all that, which is what we're trying to avoid. We talked about moving it over here. We talked about moving it over here. And finally, with working together with the school district, it was decided to put it out here behind the school in the football.
On their own campus.
So we're already working. I think the relationship with the school district is quite good right now. The meetings that we had, everybody was working together to come up with solutions much like this. And in fact, I mean, Carlos Gonzalez and I went out and walked around this. I've walked it with, you know, anybody I can get my hands on to kind of try to come up with solutions. Other than moving the school, I mean, I toyed with the idea of saying, hey, put some pullouts out here. But again, we're telling kids to walk across moving traffic. We toyed with the idea of blocking that road, vacating that piece of road, and saying that is just a drop-off.
Where does the buses pull in again?
The buses come.
They come down 11.
Some of them are coming down through the alley. Some of them are coming down 10. They then enter about right here, come around to the school, and then pull up beside the school right here, between the church and the school.
And then where do they empty from there?
They empty right here.
Back onto 10.
Some of them head northbound, some head southbound.
Okay. Okay, Brooke, you're the principal. You've watched the problem. You anticipated the problem. What's your preferred alternative?
My preferred alternative? Block off the whole road. You don't want to hear that. So,
I'm not opposed to that. The north-south
blocked
road
off the whole road.
The
our buses could go to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not opposed to that at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the only accesses into those neighborhoods.
I grew up in Bellingham at a school that was right downtown in Bellingham. They blocked off the whole road in front of the school.
I think big.
So then how are people?
Only the buses could come in.
I didn't know that was even on the table. Was that on
the table?
It's
probably not.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of very
wow. If
you do that.
We considered it, and we ruled that out fairly quickly because we had a problem that would create for the city. What that would entail for us would be putting bollards or something across up at Ash and 10th so that no cars at all can come north-south into this. And then, or we create some other temporary measure where you're pulling a gate during the day. But then we're forcing people to drop their kids off, whether, again, further out where there's no sidewalk. Then we've got the church, and we've got, I forget what that other street is that's on the other side of the park. We're blocking those and making those one way in, which is, again, something we try not to do.
Okay, so
the four-way stops.
So now, so now you're going to change your
No, I don't change it.
Your judgment
I'm going to
already.
Option two.
Yeah, we're already questioning your judgment already. So. All right, Chief, so your preferred alternative is? But you want it permanent.
I've got 90 other stop signs I like out, but that's all in my priority.
Council?
Yep.
Any nays? All right, all those, and what do you need? We need a motion?
Are we doing a motion?
So I just wanted council's agreement that we do it. We don't need a motion.
We need a consensus?
Anybody? Interdepartmental loans for public works that we signed up.
Are we going to put the flashing?
Yes.
Yes, because they're not used to it.
$15,000.
He was shaking his head no.
We have to put up
something.
Traffic revision ahead signs for, what is it, 90 days?
30
days. That gets the message. I think it's going to take us an education effort to try to get the Ash Streets people to start stopping for those. But I'm not going to be opposed to the flashing stop signs. It's just regular stop signs are 500. I don't know what those things cost.
$1,600 a piece.
Yeah.
I'm okay with flashers.
Yeah.
I'm okay with spending money on flashing.
Hold on. If we're $1,600 a piece, why don't we pay $15,000 for them up there on 14?
Those are totally different. Those are flashing maintenance, constantly flashes for the sign on
top. So you just want like the flashers on top?
No, those little LED ones.
They're up there now. It's flashers up there on street now.
It's like the one on Main Street that empties onto Highway 17.
Yeah. That's the same one that's up there on 14th, though.
We got two on 14th.
That we paid $16,000 a piece for.
Those are beacons, pal, though.
They're beacons, but the ones that I put up there before the beacons went up there were just a stop sign, 30-inch stop sign with the LED like this. They're solar powered and they flash. Uh-huh. And that's what I put up there for temporary. These here were wired in, it's electrical, hardwired in, and they're a flashing state sign. They beacon back and forth this way. See, flashing.
Okay.
All right, so we already have consensus to go forward with the stop signs. Flashing?
Flashing.
Flashing.
You got to be.
Flashing.
Put a camera on them, too, and catch people.
I like how you think.
Because there's going to be a lot of people blowing through
them. Well, there's going to be a lot of people blowing through them just simply
until
because
they learn.
It's been years that work. They haven't had anything there.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Principal French.
All right.
I think you got what you needed.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming tonight. And for your input. Okay. So Chief, thank you too. Now we're going to move to item 4.4, water meter reading software upgrade. And Spencer, you want to talk about the software upgrade?
Yeah, we'll talk about the software that we use as an interface between water meters at individual residences and the city's billing software BIAS. Right now we use a system called Connect, and that system it stopped being supported 2015, about 2 years ago. And we've been kind of limping that software along to get us to where we don't have to buy the new software. The replacement software is called Beacon. And so our old software Connect is located on one computer that's going bad. as soon as that computer goes completely, it we lose that software, and we're not quite sure what other information we'll lose. This is a computer that crashes a couple times a day. This new software is a software that won't be located on a computer. It'll be accessed kind of like Express Bill Pay through the internet. It's the replacement software if we're to stay with the same company, so we wouldn't have to change over any of our hardware, our meters that the Public Works guys use to go read the water meters with. And it's the next step for our water meters. Our old software is bad. We need to replace it with the new software from the company. The new price is $10,000, $10,700.
For just the software package?
Yeah. Well, okay. That's the software package and the training and the support.
Okay. Are you going to have to pick up a new computer to put the software on?
No.
You said the computer was about ready to go.
The computer is, and we have a replacement. This is just one of our desktops here in City Hall. We have a replacement computer, a replacement hard drive that Rigo is going to switch out as soon as we're not depending on this Kinect software.
All right, good.
It doesn't exist. We can't put the Kinect software on the new computer and switch it over.
No, I'm more in favor of it. So.
But the good thing about it is it's not going to be located on a specific machine. And it'll just be on the internet.
Questions, Council? Cool. Need a motion to direct staff to upgrade our water.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Now, item 4.5 is our resolution to surplus public work items. And Terry?
Good evening,
Mayor.
Do
you have two items you want to surplus?
Yes, three items I'd like to surplus. A pool table. Supposedly it was the city's, and then it went to the fire department, and the fire department wheeled it across the road to the Mo Shop a couple years ago, and it's been wrapped in plastic and ready to go for somebody to play fantastic pool on. So we have it down here, and we actually, we're going to put it in the silent auction, I believe, at October 11th up here, whether we bring it up and set it there, or we basically take some pictures of it. So we put a minimum of 200 for a bid on that. The reel mower, the Toro reel mower that we used to have, the Turfmaster, it had a trade-in value at the dealer, $1,500. We've had a year or so ago, we had some interest from some of the golf carts or golf courses around here that were after it. All of the reels have been completely redone. We went and rebuilt them all a couple years ago, and because we grow the grass, it's a little bit better. We've had to leave it set, so it has any hours on it with those reels. So they've been all rebuilt. That's about $3,700 worth of investment there. So we have that. We put a minimum of two on that. And then we have a couple cash registers that we used up at the pool that don't meet the auditor's cash receipt detail requirements anymore. And so those will be put on up there for people that have money to
okay.
put in.
Council, so, any questions about any more items? No vehicles?
No, I might
no
sell
baseball equipment.
Might sell a couple cop cars to get two stop signs. Is that okay? Would that be all right?
She'd you probably couldn't that, right? give away those Ford Expeditions or
to pull the cop cars up here. That'd be okay.
Don't get the four-wheel drive Fords because they have a tendency to make the officers pass out.
Okay, so now I'd entertain a motion to approve resolution to surplus the above listed items for auction.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 5 is unfinished business. Council, is there any unfinished business to come before the meeting tonight? Larry.
How are we coming on an IT man? Are we hiring one? Have we got one?
I'll address that. No, we made the decision, I thought we briefed council, that we were going out for a request for proposal from an IT companies to come to remotely monitor our system okay. and come here. Okay. And so we've been trying to get RFPs. We finally today got in one, And it asked for another extension from another firm, so we hope we get at least two RFPs to make a comparison. So that's where we are on that.
Okay, thank
you. So are we just going to, is Rego available for utilization for things like, you know?
Yes, Rego still utilizes Rego per the plan, so he's still making himself available as much as we thought he would, actually more, so he's been really good about that.
Well, you're paying him pretty good, so.
Any other unfinished business?
Did you get started on three, Terry? Did you get started on what, three?
Yeah, they've been up on those three already.
How's the progress on the street down here on First? Is it up? When's it going to be done? And
Kurt,
you want to address that?
Sure.
Well, they shut down last week for 2 days because of air quality. Their safety officer came in and unions wouldn't work because of the air quality. They did make that tap on SR 26 yesterday. Good news was there wasn't any groundwater, which kind of surprised me. I thought they'd run into groundwater, so that was kind of a big deal because they were down about 15 feet when they made that tap into that manhole down there. Other than that, things are going as planned. There was a water line on Elm Street that wasn't where it was shown on the plans, but we had to move the storm sewer over about north about 20 feet. But
any rough guess or when they might complete? I don't think we guess.
What was the paving, October? 31st. October 31st? That was October 6th.
40 days. Oh.
End of October.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I got a question. So we did the rotomill on the north part of it, and then when you start getting down towards the school district facility, the burnt desert deli, that it looks like it's all been taken down to dirt.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was deteriorated that much that it needed to be completely rebuilt? No,
it's going to have a different surface completely. That was engineered that way so that they were going to concrete that area down there for the traffic.
Okay. Yeah, so that's cement treated base. So what they'll go in there and do is they'll take 2 to 3% cement. They'll mix it with the existing soils, compact it, and what you end up getting is kind of a low-grade cement surface with a 400 to 500 PSI strength, and then pave over top of all of this.
Nice.
So it really does good for the compaction. It helps eliminate those.
Yeah, the grooving.
Which is what we have. Okay, yeah, that was just a question. Any other unfinished business? Okay. Is there any new business to come before the council tonight?
What's going on with them apartments on 10th and Main? Or they shut down?
Do you want to address that? Put nothing on.
Are we talking 940 East?
Yes.
Chief.
Excuse me. That's an enforcement action. Excuse me. Sorry.
That is an enforcement action. Heather's been working with the landlord. They've been issued multiple notices. She's met with and had, I don't think Department of Ecology, but Labor and Industries, Adams County Health, and everybody else there. They've been given a list of issues that must be fixed. I'm not quite sure if we've cited them yet, but we've given them the notice that if they don't have certain things like weeds, you know, that kind of stuff fixed within a certain period, they will. And that actually got them moving on the weeds and that kind of stuff. Boarded up windows. I mean, you know, we're trying to make sure nobody's living in them. I'm not going to say squatting because I'm not sure that they're not being given permission. But at this point, they're uninhabitable and, you know, for all intents and purposes, condemned. The landlord at this point is working to fix it, and if they don't, we will start work abatement action through our attorneys.
Okay. Well, I got one other thing. What, where that gas station used to be, that garbage out front's been there for, I mean, his pile of stuff. I could call it other stuff, but it needs to be cleaned up.
I'll let Heather look at that.
Yeah, it's been out there all summer.
Oh, yeah, it's a mess.
Where's this at?
You know the old gas station with the car wash?
Oh, yeah. They were working on it to make it an ice cream shop.
I'm understanding that's going to be frozen yogurt. Or
But it's like they reached a certain point and just
quit.
Like,
let me ask him, because Kevin's right across the street from me.
Oh, you know him?
Kevin Gilbert.
Okay.
That's who's doing it. Okay. So, okay. I'm sure he's got a place to go with it. He just hasn't taken care of it yet.
Yep.
While I'm up here, let me make a plug for the block parties the Thursday after the fair. So not this week, but next Thursday will be our block parties. We'll get all of you a list of where they're at so you can visit them. It's a competition to see which council member can get to every single one of them.
Every single one of what?
Block parties. So how many hot dogs can you eat?
Go to them?
Yeah.
Also, just start walking or what?
I want to remind council, week after next is the strategic planning. There was a form sent out by our grant writer and also our, she's our
still the
moderator.
22nd, 23rd?
Yeah. And she, we were supposed to complete those and be ready to hand those in during that session. So take a look at those. If you don't have one or don't have access to one, stop in City Hall. I think staff could get you one.
Is that the one that was on board docs?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then Larry?
I just wanted to thank the first responders here this last Sunday to come to our church, the police department, fire department, EMTs. We had a good group of people up there, and the weather was good where the pastor could come out and thank them and what have you, but we had it was good.
Excellent.
Yep.
Yes, okay.
This Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning, out in front in our flagpole, the VFW and our police explorers will be raising the POW flag for the day.
8 o'clock.
Okay. Are those guys coming in on their motorcycles for that, or are they?
That is this Saturday, I believe, at noon.
At noon?
Yes.
Okay. Our HR manager's one of the guys, so. So you want to talk about the garbage rates?
I assume we're going to talk about that in the committee report tonight.
Yeah. I don't want to bring that up tonight, not unless.
Are you sure? Okay.
We'll bring it up at the next council meeting, or you guys can do it in committee, and then we can develop it.
Well, we've already gone over some things in committee.
And you wanted to give a report?
If you would like. I don't have all the information in front of me, but we discussed the various rates for increases for solid waste, and is a committee, and it was just me and Eugene. Basically, we looked at 5% in, 5% each year for over a 3-year period. The actual amount, I can't think of it, but it was less than a dollar a month cost.
At a 5% rate, how does that cover the landfill costs? Landfill costs went up 10%.
Because we're still a little bit.
We're still a little ahead.
We're still a little bit beefy in what we're charging.
I thought it was a little close.
No.
I thought we were only ended up like $25,000 a year.
We're going to. So if we would have continued on without any increase whatsoever, we would continue to see a decline in the amount of revenue being made and the amount of money left in the budget.
It was just barely starting to turn around. So it would have slowed. And with this increase, so that's where we have a slight increase in there anyway that's going to take care of the other. I think it's a 10% increase from 70 cents, and then CSI rates have a slight increase also. So we built those increases anyway.
CSI didn't raise their rates this year.
This
was just very general, though.
Well, we had to take care of some of the drivers, or something. But anyway, we also discussed in committee
with regard to this, looking at an area, and Wade came up with an idea of maybe looking at the area down off of 24 to set up a recycling area where we could have more than just what we have today. And then looking at the valuation of the land that, that Avista kind of wants to acquire and move their gate, you know, their fence over and stuff like that. But we could actually put together a place where we could do some recycling within the city of Othello to give our people that would like to do it a place to go to do it. And actually, some of the problems that they're experiencing out at the for the collections and stuff of the garbage is that they're getting fires in their rigs, and part of the reason is because of the vegetation that's being thrown away within the city. You know, every garbage can's got two or three bags of lawn clippings or molded and decaying leaves or something. So if we could give a place or an area where they could go with their yard waste that could be hauled out separately to, and it doesn't have to be through consolidated disposal, it could be through a private contractor, that we could do this. But there's things that we've been talking about.
Some money to really make it nice, to make a first-class facility. Who takes care of the cardboard down here?
They do.
Who's they?
Consolidated disposal.
One of the complaints that I'm getting is people take cardboard down here and it's running over the top.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned that to them when...
Because commercial businesses are doing it because they don't want to rent a...
Exactly. And a lot of it, too, is public laziness. Last Monday, when they were there to pick that up, those containers were half empty. And yet people were still stacking cardboard on top of the containers, throwing it on the side and throwing it in the front.
I have never been there. I have never been there when they weren't completely full.
Okay. They changed pickups to twice a week now.
Okay, that's good.
The original pickup was on Thursday. They start picking up on Mondays.
Okay.
Like I said, Monday when they were there, the containers were half empty. Cardboard was strewn everywhere up down.
Okay.
All right. Having no further business to come before the council tonight, I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:28 p.m.